We are getting very excited for next week's. It starts a week from today. The Rural Arts and Culture Summit will be in Grand Rapids. Your first stop should be at KEXE. There's an open house here from 2 to 5 o'clock on next Thursday. And then there are lots of cool things going on Friday. I mean, there's events at night, and then on Friday and Saturday, talks by different folks. We're going to talk a little bit more about that now. This is Area Voices. It's made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota. So there's going to be many people from around the state, many people from around the country, and one of the panels are local arts advocates Kathy Dodge, Sonia Merrill, and Ed Zabinski. Their talk on arts and cultural development led by city government is Saturday, and Kathy Dodge is in the studio with us this morning. Dodger, thanks for being here.
Well, you're welcome. I'm representing the other two, so I hope I do.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, here comes Ed. He got my message, maybe.
Well, let's start off this talk before we get into the specifics of what you're going to talk about on Saturday. You've been watching in the last week and a half, especially, even longer, all the public art in Grand Rapids. What are you excited about in seeing some of the new public art out there? Kind of, I don't know if we've talked about it much on the air, but there's all kinds of cool stuff.
Well, because I'm on the Grand Rapids Arts and Culture Commission, I knew it was coming. it was an imagination. I could dream about it, and now it's there, and the impact is amazing. And I guess what makes me really happy is people come up to me and say, "Wow, look at all the art." And everyone's been really positive about it, because I think it's just really important to our community that it's pretty and that people of all stripes can enjoy art, and they can stop and look at a building and say, "Wow, that's interesting. What do I think of that? And what do you think of that?" And someone might say, "Well, I don't like it." And someone might say, "Well, I like it." And then, why don't you like it? "Well, I don't like it because of that, but I like it because of that." So it brings art to the public, and it just is really important. I think Ed might be able to talk about this more, to economic development, which some people don't realize.
Yeah, how does Ed Zabinski joins us now. Thanks for coming in, Ed. How does public art affect economic development, would you say?
So public art and art in general makes our community a little more vibrant, a little more reflective of the cultures, of the culture in our community, which is diverse. And as Dodger was describing, the public art and art in general is defined by people themselves, by the viewers, but also the people who actually create the art. And in our community, we have many, many folks who are artists, who may not call themselves artists, but the reality is they celebrate the culture of our community in a variety of ways, and I think that's part of what makes our community richer.
Well, let's say who's on this panel and why. First of all, Ed, you're a former city council member, and I was the first chair of the Grand Rapids Arts and Culture Commission, and now Sonia Merrill, who can't be with us this morning, is a present chair. So what we're going to talk about at the Rural Arts and Culture Summit is how we came to be as a commission, and Ed, you're responsible for that partially, or you took the lead on it. That's what I'm going to say, with the work of other people. I think it's an amazing story that a city council person was an advocate for the arts.
You know, I was one of five votes, and we had a city administration that was supportive. The council itself was initially a little skeptical, but after describing the work that other communities have done.
In a creation of a commission.
A creation of a commission, but also the celebration and recognition of public art, they began to understand. And I think, like a lot of things in life, you need to actually act and then explain to people the impact. And that is what we did. It took a while, but it worked.
Mm-hmm. But Before you presented a proposal for a commission to the council, there was some work there. What did you do in order to get the proposal going?
We did some research in other communities around the country, frankly, first of all, and also had local artists talk. And local artists came in various forms. Mm-hmm. It wasn't painting only. It wasn't just music, although that's part of it. And I think part of our challenge was to recognize how communities who celebrate art have become more culturally enriched and financially enriched. And we did studies that showed how communities leveraged public art as a financial or economic development tool. And that seemed to begin to click with a lot of business owners. And as you see now, First Friday, the work that you began is now celebrated by a growing number of local businesses who understand the value that people put on art and, frankly, are able to generate more economic development.
Yeah, I think that when I think of Grand Rapids, too, the Minnesota Citizens for the Arts did a economic study of the impact of the arts a couple of years ago. And in Grand Rapids, the impact of the arts, and I think a lot of people already know this, but if you don't, the impact of the arts economically in Grand Rapids is over $5 million.
It's amazing. Most people would not have a clue that it was that significant.
Yeah. So it's really important. And what's really warms my heart is sometimes when I run into someone who's from another part of the state, they say, "Oh, you're from Grand Rapids." I hear that's just a really arts-oriented community, and it's the word has gotten out, and I see now that we see some development downtown around art places, murals, and I think it's cool.
So if someone listening, you know, is from a town where there isn't much art, are there first steps they could take that you might recommend? Was First Friday kind of some of the first steps to be getting a community behind arts? Or?
Yeah. There's a story there that people don't know much about, but how First Friday started is because we are Grand Rapids and we work really hard, and Ed was involved in this, the Minnesota Orchestra was looking for a community for their first outstate one-week residency. And so they went around the state and they interviewed people from different rural towns, and they had chosen ours. We had a little small connection, and we also had an orchestra. And we had the Rife Center. So they interviewed people, and when they came to interview us, we really worked hard, and we lobbied. So they picked us. We were the first town in the state of Minnesota to have this residency, and I have to say that the steering committee behind that did a template that they've used in other rural communities for their residency. So one of the elements, I'm getting to First Friday, is that how can the orchestra leave a lasting legacy? And the group of people said, well, we can't go looking for more funding. We don't have enough time, blah, 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 blah. So we decided, and some other great merchants like Frame Up and McRosty, it's a nonprofit, were experimenting with First Friday and having their businesses and art galleries open on that night. So we decided the first night of the before the residency that we would declare First Friday, and that in celebration of the visit from the orchestra. So that's actually kind of their lasting legacy, which has gotten lost, but it's a good story. So, and I think, you know, I have to say hats off to Bemidji, because I think people behind First Friday saw what was happening in Bemidji with their First Friday. I don't know if they call it First Friday, but it's...
Yeah, oh, they do, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. We were envious, so...
Yeah, you know, there's...
So thanks, Bemidji.
And I believe Brainerd has Second Saturday, is how they refer to theirs, but on the first Friday of every month, we go to the different towns around our region on air, so we are hearing about Grand Rapids and Park Rapids and the Iron Range and Brainerd and Bemidji, and kind of hearing what all these towns are doing and all the life going on due to the arts. I don't know if you mentioned this yet. What's up with the pianos outside downtown?
Well, frankly, I don't know, but it's a cool development.
Well, they're art, yeah, too. They are art. Besides someone sitting down and playing at them, which is art. But
okay, in my, and I wanted to find out more about this, but I think Chantel from the Rife Center had something to do with that. And I also think Katie Marshall of McGrossi Art Center had a dream that that might be a cool thing to do. So I think there's something behind that. I think the Rife Center had some
pianos. I think
you
know that something's working when the people who are kind of in charge don't know what's going on. In other words, the fact that it's organic,
right?
And
yeah,
things happen because people see their own self-interest and they feel free to do it. And
yeah, I've seen some Facebook posts of people coming from other towns who went and got some coffee and said, oh, I sat down and played some music outside, right, and took a little video of it. Sure. And you could see the whole thing going on. Ed, I wanted to ask you, what do you think it means to have this Rural Arts and Culture Summit here in Grand Rapids?
Well, certainly on a couple levels, it's a wonderful event for the city and the community of Grand Rapids, just to be able to celebrate an event like that. And it's a recognition, I think, for a lot of folks that they have chosen this community as an example and as a model for the great discussion and conversation that they will have about art. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. Dodger, what about, you've been to this summit before, right?
I'm a Rural Arts and Culture Summit groupie.
Okay.
I came away the first time, and this is, you know, I get emotional talking about this. We talk about the rural metro divide. If you go, and I urge people to sign up and go, you will come back being so proud of living rural. Because you see, and this isn't just people from the next town. There are people from all over the United States who are going to talk about their projects.
27 states so far.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Signed up, yeah.
Amazing things going on. I mean, it just stimulates your mind. So it's just made me, I talk about now living rural, all the advantages that we have, and people think sometimes we're just out in the boonies and we don't have anything to do on a Saturday night. There's too much going on, and we don't have to sit in traffic, you know, to get to work. And it's beautiful. I mean, we can look out our windows and see lakes and trees.
You know, KAXC itself,
yes,
is an example of art. And the listening area that you serve has many, many communities, Ely to Nisswa and all areas in between, who have festivals that are low-key. And I'm sure were started by one or two people who had a vision about displaying something that they made, something that they drew.
I think
drew.
You're talking about Bury the Bean Festival in Pequot Lakes.
That's one more. I would guess there are hundreds, literally, if we did an inventory.
Absolutely.
And frankly, KAXC is a great conduit and connector for the art community in this region. It's wonderful.
Yeah, so much going on. We're also getting excited about, we're working with the folks on the Iron Range Sustainability Partnership, right, and they're putting on this first annual Pasty Festival.
Wow.
Oh. That's coming up in a couple of weeks, and actually a week from Saturday, and then we'll be doing some pasty trivia that night on green cheese, and it's a great way to kind of celebrate the history. There's also something called a Mrs. Rutabaga Bowling or something, or I don't know what that means, but Mrs. Rutabaga Head Contest, and then Rutabaga Bowling. So
that reminds me.
John. Head in hand. John can only imagine how good this is going to be.
Yeah. I think it's really important, and this is something that I learned from the conference that I went to, or the summit I went to a few years ago. You're talking about a region identifying what makes them significant and important, and you capitalize on that, and you're establishing for your community a regional flavor that attracts people. They want to come and check it out. Mm-hmm. So John wants to go to the Rutabaga Bowling, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it piqued his interest.
Right, and of course, the ultimate question of gravy or ketchup.
Oh.
On your pasty.
Yeah. That's not an easy question.
I know. You didn't know I was going to hammer you with those things. But.
Well, I'd say gravy, but.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I grew up in Ely, I know.
Okay. Well, whenever my family visits from out east, I always buy pasties and we eat them. They go, what is this?
And what do you put, ketchup?
I don't put anything.
Oh,
isn't that terrible?
No, no. Oh, well, yeah.
Sorry, John. How about yogurt?
Oh, this topic is... Never mind.
Now, okay. If you want to find more information on the Rural Arts and Culture Summit, you can find links. You can find it at ruralartsandculturesummit.com. You can also find conversations we had already with the folks involved at our website, kexc.org. And tomorrow we're talking to one of the presenters. She's telling us more about how failure is necessary as an artist. Mm-hmm. And we're also talking about some female-led arts collaborations. So we'll be checking in with Lauren Carlson tomorrow. Yeah.